Have you ever looked at an emerging economy and wondered, what does it really take? What's that catalyst for making a huge leap onto the global financial stage?
It's often a combination of factors, right? Big policy shifts, strategic partnerships.
Exactly. We're talking major shifts, multi-billion dollar funds, partnerships with global investment players. Today, we're doing a deep dive into precisely that scenario.
Ah, Uzbekistan.
Yes, Uzbekistan's National Investment Fund, or USINF, and it's really a landmark partnership with Franklin Templeton. Our mission today is to unpack what this means strategically.
Right, for Uzbekistan itself, but also crucially for international investors who might be looking at Central Asia.
Okay, so let's get the basic facts down first. USINF, it's a joint stock company set up by presidential decree August 27, 2024.
Relatively recent, then.
Very. And it holds these significant minority stakes. We're talking 20% to 40% in 18 key state-owned enterprises, SOEs.
Okay, 18 core companies.
Yeah, and at launch, the initial net asset value was substantial, US $1.68 billion. The Uzbek government owns 100% of USINF.
All right, government-backed.
And it became fully operational May 1st, 2025. That's the date Franklin Templeton officially came on board as fund manager and trustee.
That dual role is interesting. Manager and trustee.
It is. It suggests a deep level of involvement and responsibility.
Absolutely. And what's really fascinating here, I think, is that USINF isn't just, another pot of money. It's designed to be way more strategic than that.
How so?
Well, it's really central to Uzbekistan's whole economic transformation story.
Yeah.
The objectives are super clear. Drive growth, yes, but also actively pull in international investors.
Okay, attracting foreign capital is key.
Huge. And maybe the most critical part, improve the efficiency, the profitability, and crucially, the governance within those 18 SOEs.
Ah, the governance piece. That's often the sticking point with SOEs, isn't it?
Always. So this isn't just asset management. It's a vehicle for broader reform. It's about embedding good governance, market principles right from the top down. It signals a very systematic, investor-friendly approach.
That definitely sets an ambitious tone. But, it begs the question for something this critical to the nation, why bring in an international firm like Franklin Templeton? Why not manage it domestically?
That's the million-dollar question, or rather the $1.68 billion question,
Right,
right?
exactly.
And the answer really comes down to Franklin Templeton's, their deep experience, and more importantly, their specific track record.
In what areas specifically?
Specifically in managing these kinds of strategic investment mandates in emerging and, frontier markets, they have this one standout success story that I think was undeniably a huge factor.
Which one was that?
Their management of Fondul Proprietatea in Romania.
Ah, yes, Fondul. I've heard about that one.
Right. It was set up on a very, very similar model to USINF, holding large minority stakes in Romanian SOEs.
Okay, so a direct parallel.
A very direct parallel.
Okay.
And Fondul was listed. This is important both locally on the Bucharest Stock Exchange and, crucially for global capital, on the London Stock Exchange.
LSE listing, right. That opens it up significantly.
Massively.
Yeah.
And here's the number that really grabbed attention, I'm sure. Fondul's share price increased almost 10 times.
10 times, seriously.
Almost 10 times, yeah. From its listing in January 2011 up to March 35, 2024. That works out to a total shareholder return of 632.4% in US dollar terms.
Wow, that's phenomenal performance.
It really is. And beyond the share price, they also distributed over $7 billion through dividends and share buybacks to the shareholders.
Okay, so real tangible value delivered.
Exactly. That proven ability to deliver that kind of shareholder value, that had to be a decisive factor for Uzbekistan. They're clearly looking to replicate that kind of success.
That Romanian example is incredibly powerful, that almost 10 times return. But here's the thing, right? Can you really just copy paste that success into Uzbekistan? I mean, every market is different, the economic environment, the regulations.
That's a really fair point. You absolutely can't just use a cookie cutter approach, and Franklin Templeton knows that.
So they're tailoring it.
Definitely. Look, these negotiations took several years. It wasn't a quick decision. They signed an initial memorandum of understanding a couple of years back.
Great, I remember reading about that.
So that time really underscores the complexity, the deliberate pace. They needed to understand the Uzbek context, the specific nuances.
Okay, so due diligence was extensive.
Absolutely. They believe the core principles, governance, transparency, market valuation, are universal, sure. But applying them effectively, that needs deep local knowledge and operational understanding. which is what they seem to be building.
Right. So, okay, the deal is done. They understand the context. What's the actual strategy? What's Franklin Templeton's playbook for UZMIFEF? How are they planning to hit those ambitious targets in Uzbekistan's specific market?
Yeah, so they've outlined what they call their three pillars strategy. It's designed to tackle the challenge head on.
Three pillars. Okay, let's break them down. Pillar one.
Pillar one is all about IPO preparation. This is huge. The plan is to list Eatonese itself, the whole fund, on both the Tashkent Stock Exchange, the TSE, and a major international exchange by 2026.
They're trying to see it that soon.
It's ambitious, no doubt. And it's not just a vague goal. It's a core key performance indicator, a KPI for Franklin Templeton.
A hard target.
Exactly. Huh. But it goes further. This pillar also involves prepping the individual portfolio companies, those 18 SOEs, for their own potential IPOs.
Ah, so IPOs for the underlying companies, too.
Potentially, yes. Locally on the TSE and maybe for some internationally as well. They've apparently already started this work, selecting equity advisors, laying that groundwork now.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. Get the assets ready, too. What's pillar two?
Pillar two is corporate transformation. This is really getting into the weeds. It's about a dedicated, hands-on push to improve transparency, boost efficiency, and increase profitability within all 18 companies.
The nitty-gritty operational stuff.
Precisely. Mm-hmm. You know, historically, many privatization efforts globally kind of stumble because they underestimate how tough it is to really transform these state-owned giants.
Right, changing entrenched cultures and processes.
It's a huge challenge. Franklin Templeton seems focused on tackling those core issues head-on, the things that often scare off serious international investors. The end game here is to significantly increase the value of these companies, making them genuinely attractive IPO candidates down the line.
Makes sense. Value creation before exit. And pillar three?
Pillar three is governance improvements. We touched on this. The Uzbek government clearly wants more independent oversight for these companies.
Bringing them up to international standards.
That's the goal. And to make this happen, Franklin Templeton plans to have its own investment team members sit on the boards of all 18 portfolio companies.
All 18? That's significant board involvement.
It really is. It gives them direct insight, a deep operational understanding, and the ability to push for governance changes from the inside, not just as external advisors.
Interesting. So boots on the ground, right on the boards.
Exactly. And beyond the IPO goal, other KPIs include growing the fund's net asset value, the NAV, by at least 10% per year.
Okay. A solid growth target.
And of course, continuing to support those governance reforms, they're showing commitment to opened a new office in Tashkent back in April, staffed with a local team.
That local presence is key, I imagine. But transforming SOEs, even with board seats, that's notoriously difficult. How do they plan to overcome potential resistance, you know, ingrained ways of doing things within those 18 companies?
That's a very sharp point. It's definitely more than just shuffling numbers. It's about driving real cultural and operational change.
Which takes time and buy-in.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Having their people on the boards is crucial because it allows for that direct engagement. They can understand the internal politics, the sticking points, and influence decisions directly. They're positioning themselves less as just investors, more as partners in this reform journey.
So advocating for best practices.
Yeah, focusing on things like modern financial reporting, better internal controls, robust strategic planning areas often underdeveloped in traditional SOEs. The government's clear mandate helps, gives them leverage, but it's still going to be a company-by-company effort, no doubt.
Right. It won't be uniform progress across all 18, I guess.
Probably not. Some will likely move faster than others.
Okay, so we've got the strategy, the three pillars, but ultimately the fund's value depends on the assets themselves. What does this $1.68 billion portfolio actually contain? What kinds of companies are we talking about?
It's a really diverse mix and strategically vital stuff for Uzbekistan's economy. Mm-hmm. Rather than listing all 18, maybe let's look at some key sectors and examples.
Yeah, that would be helpful. Give us a flavor.
Okay, so you've got a big chunk in energy. Think major players like Novoyzat, which is a huge chemical producer tied to energy inputs, but also things like regional electric grids and the Uzbekistan national electric grids.
So power generation and distribution.
Exactly. And Uzbek Hydroenergo, too. This isn't just utilities. It's the fundamental industrial backbone. Capturing growth in energy demand is clearly a focus.
Okay, energy is core. What else?
Then there's infrastructure and transportation. This is interesting. You have Uzbekistan airports and Uzbekistan Airways.
Ah, so a play on increased travel, tourism, trade.
Precisely. Given Uzbekistan's location, it's a bet on it becoming more of a regional hub. Logistics, trade flows, passenger traffic. It taps into all that. Plus companies involved in railways and urban transport.
Makes sense. What about finance?
Yep, banking is in there. Crucial sector. You've got the People's Bank, Microcredit Bank, and the Business Development Bank, supporting SME growth and financial inclusion, likely.
And communications.
Uh-huh. Telecommunications and postal services, too.
Yeah.
Uzbek Telecom, the main telco, and Uzbekistan Post. Key infrastructure for a modernizing economy.
It really covers the bases, doesn't it? Energy, infrastructure, finance, comms.
It does. Plus others like the Commodity Exchange and Uzbek Invest, the insurance company. It's a real cross-section. And the key thing is the growth potential seen in almost all these sectors.
How so?
Well, think about it. As the Uzbek economy keeps growing, and it's been growing, fast demand for electricity will keep rising. That benefits the energy companies. Passenger numbers at airports are projected to surge. That benefits the airport and airline holdings.
Right, tied directly to macroeconomic growth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, Franklin Templeton is clear. There's no one-size-fits-all approach here. They're developing tailored strategies for each of the 18 companies to unlock its specific potential.
18 different game plans, essentially.
That seems to be the idea. Maximize each one individually.
Okay, so stepping back from the individual companies and the fund itself, what's the bigger picture here? What does this whole initiative signal about Uzbekistan's ambitions on the, you know, the global financial stage? This feels bigger than just one fund.
Oh, it absolutely is a much bigger play. UZNF is explicitly designed, I think, to act as a proxy for Uzbekistan.
Yeah.
A proxy? How do you mean?
Like a single entry point, a gateway into the country for foreign institutional investors.
Yeah.
If you want exposure to Uzbekistan's core economy and reform story, investing in the listed UZNF fund is meant to be the straightforward way to do it.
Ah, simplifying access for big global funds.
Exactly. And the listing of UZNF itself, that dual listing plan, is seen as a major catalyst for developing the local capital market.
How would it catalyze the market?
Primarily through liquidity. Listing a $1.7 billion plus fund, especially if it attracts international interest, should significantly boost trading volumes and overall activity on the Tashkent Stock Exchange.
Right, potentially attracting more listings later, too.
That's the hope. And they're working on the background stuff, too, preparing the market infrastructure, collaborating with the regulators like NAPP and the central bank to handle international transactions smoothly.
So getting the plumbing ready for global flows.
You got it. There seems to be real confidence that the UZNF's IPO will succeed. They point to Uzbekistan's strong macroeconomic performance.
Yeah, growth has been impressive.
The attractive, diversified portfolio within the fund, and of course, Franklin Templeton's own network and ability to tap into that international investor pool.
Their distribution power.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's not happening in isolation. There's this broader pipeline of IPOs emerging from Uzbekistan. NMMC, the big mining company, is another example. It feels like a coordinated, large-scale push to really accelerate equity market development and pull in global capital.
It's a very clear signal then. Uzbekistan is serious about opening up and attracting investment.
A very strong signal, yes.
Okay, that paints a compelling, ambitious picture. Uzbekistan seems really committed, even acknowledging the complexities. But let's bring it back to the listeners, especially potential investors. Given everything we've discussed, what are the real risks and rewards here, entering Uzbekistan now at this pivotal moment?
That's the critical calculation, isn't it? On the reward side, you have the potential to get in relatively early on a fast-growing economy with a government seemingly committed to pro-market reforms. The UZNF structure itself offers diversification across key sectors.
And Franklin Templeton's involvement adds a layer of perhaps comfort or credibility.
You'd think so. Franklin Templeton themselves argue the opportunity is far greater than any type of risk, citing the reform momentum and their own strategies to mitigate risk through that deep dive into the companies.
Okay, but the risks, what are they?
Well, the standard emerging market risks apply, right? Regulatory shifts, even with the current positive direction. Ensuring corporate governance improvements truly take root across all 18 SOEs is a massive task. Liquidity, while expected to improve, is still a consideration. Execution risk on the IPOs and transformations is real.
Yeah, delivering on those promises is key.
Absolutely. And then there's the question of replicating that Romanian success. Can they really achieve that almost 10 times return in a different context? It's a high bar.
It is. And thinking regionally, what impact could this whole UZNF model have on neighboring Central Asian countries? Are they watching this?
Oh, you can bet they are. This public-private partnership model, using a top-tier global manager for state assets, slated for reform and listing, it could definitely become influential.
a potential blueprint for others considering similar reforms or privatizations.
Exactly. If Usnef's 2026 dual listing is a success, if it genuinely boosts the market and attracts significant capital, that sends a powerful message across the region. It could accelerate similar moves elsewhere.
And if it stumbles?
Conversely, if it faces major hurdles or doesn't meet expectations, it could make others more cautious. Temper enthusiasm for similar large-scale privatizations via international partnerships. So Usnef's performance could really act as a bellwether for investor sentiment towards the entire region's reform potential.
So high stakes not just for Uzbekistan, but potentially for Central Asia more broadly.
I think so, yes. Its success or failure could really shape perceptions and future investment flows across the region.
Fascinating. Definitely a space to watch closely over the next few years, especially leading up to that potential 2026 listing. It's clear the story is far from over.
Absolutely. The execution phase is just beginning.
Well, thanks for walking us through this, a really insightful look at a major development in Uzbekistan's economic landscape. We'll certainly keep an eye on how Uzaif and Franklin Templeton navigate the path ahead.